regrets and the scars that he has from that. And so I said I'd like some testimonies. And so if we have anyone who would be willing, ready to share that, I'd appreciate it, being raised in church to whatever extent, okay? Some people from the time that they were born, you know, there was a dedication service in the church, and that's it. They, you know, they teethed in the nursery, and they just grew up in the church. That's the whole life. But others, you know, it may have been later in their life that they started going to church, or in some cases it may have been an on-again, off-again time. Families go through those experiences. And so to whatever extent you were raised in church or you knew the way to go, but you chose to go differently, and now, of course, you're back in church. Does anybody have a testimony to that respect that you'd like to share tonight? Is there anybody who has a testimony to share to that extent?
I'm sure to that extent.
All right.
I was raised in church, just like... I was raised in church, just like many of the young children here, and knew of salvation, knew of God, all the things that are taught here were taught there, and for a time I halfway looked for salvation, and when it didn't happen, because I believed in a faith that absolutely knew they were saved, and when that did not happen to me, I just gave up on it. And over the course of my younger adult years, the age of Trevor and younger than Zane, probably 13 or 14 years old, I just decided I wanted nothing to do with it. And just waited my time out till I could leave home, expecting to just go out and just live what I considered to be a normal life with people around me that just weren't in church and enjoyed their lives and had fun and made money. And that was my goal, to be happy without God and follow some of the advice of my father, because I know what the Bible teaches about happiness, and I thought, I'll be happy following some of those things so that I don't take all the grievous wounds early on that so many people fall into. But I was quickly unhappy. I was very quickly unhappy. I went up to college and immediately played the fool and began to hate my life very quickly, and failed out of college almost, and joined the military and played the fool even more. And hated my life. And there's people here that probably don't believe that they'll hate their life when they walk out of here. They think that they're going to do their own thing. They're going to avoid the mistakes that everyone else makes, but they're going to make their own mistakes. And if God's gracious to them, he'll make them hate their life. I only came back because of my parents and understanding that it was for real. And I was gone from church for so long, I didn't even remember what it was like. All the things that were preached and taught here, I was almost like some guy that comes in off the street back into church. I could remember some things, but it was almost all new to me being under the preaching again. And when I finally came back to New York, it was just a general idea of, I remember a time when I didn't hate my life. I remember when I was younger and being happy. And God was very gracious to put me back in church, where I have a life where I don't hate my life daily.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Now, there is a good thing that happened to you in those wandering years of wilderness. She's sitting next to you.
I'll say another thing about that. God was very gracious to me in that. And I really doubt that he'll be as gracious to others, and I really mean that. There is very, very few people that would go out and get a wife the way that I gone out and got a wife. That will ever have someone that will come back with them and will sit in church.
Amen.
That's right.
Very few. I do not believe that there's others that will get the same chance. Right. That will get the same grace. They just won't. Perhaps they will. I don't think
they will. Yeah. Yeah, and God was merciful, Stephen, in, you know, we listened to Pacific Garden Missions, and there are so many that have ruined their lives. Now they find Christ at the mission, and they are in their programs to help them come back, but God was merciful in bringing you back without having to go through that sort of thing. So that's good. Is there anyone else who has? Nick.
Surprisingly to me, after hearing it that way just now, I actually have a pretty similar, or at least similar in a lot of ways, testimony to Stephen. I grew up, like my grandpa, as probably all of you know, is evangelist Tim Kerr.
Yeah,
myself. And so we grew up in like a Christian atmosphere. From as young as I can remember, my parents have been, you know, we'd be in and out of church, have all kinds of sin in our lives. Other times we live in more of what you consider a holy life, but never really walking the proper path. None of us, or at least, you know, the majority of us, not really actually being saved, thinking we were. And when I was three, I actually remember making a confession and running around and telling everybody about it. And for a lot of time, like many, many years throughout my life, I would try to witness to people or share the Bible or try to help someone get saved. And I have a lot of people I remember who said they got saved or would pray with me, but I don't ever remember seeing any fruit from any of those people. And as a matter of fact, some of them, if not a lot of them, I remember going in the complete opposite direction. And I always thought that was confusing to me. It started to make more sense after I came here and learned more of why that was happening. Mm-hmm. But I never really related it to the embarrassment factor or the feeling of just simply not having the real thing and then turning in the opposite direction. But so I basically grew up like this for a long time. And around 14 or 15, we had some really, really hard stuff going on in the family. It's a time where no matter what was going on, I should have stepped up and been a man and taken care of my mom and my family and done everything I possibly could have. But really, I just ended up smoking a lot of weed and getting prescribed meds and just all kinds of crazy things going on that started a lot of problems for me later in life. And as we were talking about on the way up here, you never think you could get a scar or such a painful memory in your life until after you've done it. You don't realize how much pain you can really cause yourself. And the fact that you're just going to have to live with it after you either live with it or you don't live with it. But like the feasible thing is that you live with it and you learn how to. After being 17, so for 6 months before turning 17, or I think I turned 17 there, but right around that point in time, I was in a placement facility just for being stupid and doing illegal things and got in trouble for it. And I got out of there, made another profession of actually getting saved, and started preaching to people on the streets. And never, again, we had people come to the church here and there, one or two people maybe, but lots of people would pray with me and I just never saw anything of it, but I was so excited. And it wasn't until maybe 2 or 3 years after that that we started coming here and really learning about the Bible. I fought for a while just denying the pastor. He said he wouldn't die with what I have. And I just thought he was, you know, he doesn't know that I'm saved or whatever. But I could really never dispute that. I couldn't be comfortable saying that he's just wrong in that. And I figured if I couldn't be comfortable with something that simple, that I really have a problem. So between then and now, which was about 3 years, I did a lot of stupid things here, mistakes, caused myself really bad scars. And eventually just had enough terrible things happen, revealed enough of myself to myself, and finally was able to accept the truth of what God has in salvation, and got saved, well, through this church, but very recently. So that's a long story I tried to summarize, but
okay, very good. Very good, thank you. Anyone else? John.
I just like to praise the Lord for his long suffering. Our three boys, when they were young, they all professed the professions of faith, but they've all gone in their own direction. We pray for the boys every week, and I think it's finally paid off because it's not our timing, but it's the Lord's timing. I think that's where we get I just thank the Lord for being patient as he is.
Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. You're good. Chelsea.
So I was raised in church from the time I was a baby. And, you know, we were in and out of church, but I was still in Baptist church as most of my childhood. So I knew about God. I knew the plan for salvation. I knew, you know, the Bible stories and all that. And I was mostly never put in public school until about seventh grade. So great time to go to public school. But what was on my mind going to public school as soon as I started was I wanted to fit in with those kids. Like, I didn't want to be the weird Christian girl. I didn't want to be what Brother Neil was saying Sunday about, you know, not wanting to be laughed at for being Christian, not wanting to be made fun of. I wanted to fit in, and I fit in really easily. I blended right in with all the worldly kids. I became really rebellious. I wanted boyfriends. I wanted to drink and party and smoke and everything at 13 years old, and I did. It is an unhappy, miserable life. And what Stephen said has been something that's been in my head for the last 2 days, thinking about talking tonight, is to the younger kids here and the teenagers and everything, you think, because it's not you personally having these thoughts, nah, I'm not going to be like, just because I have Stephen and Chelsea doesn't mean it's going to happen to me. I can handle it. I can do it. And, you know, I'm not going to be miserable. I'm not going to go do drugs. I'm not going to drink and blah, blah, blah. You just wait and see, and what makes you so special that you're not going to let, you know, wind up like that. Mm-hmm. If you leave the things of God, it's a much happier life. Before we finally broke down after a couple of years of Karen and my parents and my sister and brother asking us to come to church, I was just about as depressed as I could be, and I tried to do anything that I could to fill that depression. I've been doing, like, pills and all kinds of drugs, like things that my parents probably don't even know that I've done, and drinking for 10 to 12 years of my life I spent doing that, like just numb, trying to fill this emptiness inside of me that none of that stuff was ever going to fill, but it didn't stop me from trying. And then this past few years, I worked all the time, and then I went to college, and I'm still drinking vodka every single night, as much as I can, and trying to do all this stuff, still not working. It's still not making me feel better. I'm just so depressed. Right before we started coming to church, I went to my first like intake appointment at Beacon Light, like Behavioral Health Center, because I was finally going to start counseling. So I thought, man, that's got to work because nothing else is working, and I can't just spend every single day depressed, and I didn't know what was going to fix it. And, you know, with somebody who, despite how it sounds with our life, like my testimony, drugs, alcohol abuse, and all of that stuff, like Nathan and I still did have a happy marriage. We still did love our son. And to anybody hearing how we behaved and the things that we did, it kind of sounds like we didn't care about our child and we didn't care about each other. But we did. So by all accounts, there were plenty of reasons I should have been happy, but I never was. And so I kept trying to be happy. And then we came to church for the first time. We're like, fine, we'll go, you know. And we had to shut them up because they wouldn't stop. So we came to a service on Youth Week, hungover. Mm-hmm. I mean, hungover. And just captivated. And I just knew that this was it, that this was the change I was looking for. But this was the one thing that was going to fill that hole that I couldn't fill with anything else. And I've never been so happy in my life.
Amen.
So if you're thinking, I can't wait to get out of my parents' house, I can't wait to get away from the church and do what all those kids do and go party and go live it up, that is not living it up. You will be miserable. Just stick to the things of God and wait and see what He has for you, because it's worth it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Jody.
Mine's different, and I was more of the bus ministry kid. I was the kid that was sent to church, but my parents never went with us. It was, so for me, I heard it, but I didn't have that example of what to do at home. And it was never really told how to live that life. But I'd heard it, and I knew that there was something to it, but because I didn't know how to live it, I went out and I lived in the world because I had no other example of it. But I was sent to church. I was told that the Bible was the thing you're supposed to follow, even though there was no follow-through in our home. And again, I got into the world, and I mean, I got married, but I mean, I got my own wounds before marriage and in our marriage, and with the 3-4 kids. And I mean, honestly, for me, I guess my testimony is just that I thank God that I did have that bus ministry testimony, and I did have an aunt that took me, because when all failed and I couldn't find happiness, there was something in me that said, you need to turn back to the church.
Yeah.
And so for me, coming here was, it was somebody finally telling me how to live, and how to use your Bible, and how to put that stuff in your life, and how to heal the wounds of the world, and how to raise your kids better so they have that future. So even as a bus kid, I knew there was something to it, but I didn't know how to live it.
Yeah.
So I had the
wounds
from it. So
Amen. That's
something we talk about with our kids all the time.
There's a lot of people living a godly life because they were a bus kid.
Right.
Okay. Bus ministries are not in their heyday that they were at one time in the life of Bible-believing churches. But there are still churches that have effective bus ministry.
That's right.
And before there was a bus ministry, there was an aunt who cared and just took her niece to church. There was an uncle who cared. Y'all are familiar with Terry Ireland. This night is going different than I anticipated, okay? but it's going good. You're familiar with Terry Ireland, did the work over on the parsonage. There was a man who lived on Horse Run Road. That's a road he grew up on. He would, I think it was that man, who took the back seat out of the car. You know, there was a day that you could just pop it loose, you know? You can't do that anymore. I about sprung a gut leap for trying. But he'd take the seat out of the car so he could get more kids into it. Oh, that's not safe. We don't want to go there, okay?
My aunt had a station wagon, and on any given Sunday, she could have 8 of us packed in.
Okay, there you go. Okay, and so and Terry got taken to church, and Terry was introduced, like you, to the things of the Lord, to what God had, and what was there, and it was, you know. Now listen, is there anyone else before I start? Is there anyone else? Short. Yeah, did work. Taryn?
Since I've been a baby, my mom and dad have been bringing me to church off and off. I mean, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is my third time being on.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, there's not going to be a fourth.
That's right.
Okay, there's not going to be a fourth. You only need a third when it lasts.
That's right.
Got that, Mom? All right. Anyone else before I knew?
My parents, Pastor asked me to talk about Bill Randall, his boy, saying that he was
booby trapped.
His parents, and that's the way I look at my life, because I knew they were praying for me. I knew that they cared. And if it wasn't for their prayers, I wouldn't make it back.
Amen.
There's a lot of times when I was, now that I've gotten back, that I constantly question myself, why didn't God take me out? I wasn't living for the Lord. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be. I was hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
And just how gracious God is.
Amen. Amen. And his parents were godly people. They lived for the Lord. They were committed. You say, mine, you're making them perfect. No, they weren't perfect. Okay? They were Fords. You have to know, as I did, his whole family. Precious people. But they are. They're faithful. They're godly. They were consistent in living. They went to church even when they didn't agree with what was going on in church. Okay. As anybody else? Then I got to get to the comments I was going to make. Ashley.
I thought about it for a couple days, and I don't really know exactly what to say. But what it comes down to is I live two lives. In second grade, I was brought to church from a friend, and their family dynamic was completely different than mine. We didn't really have a family. They were physically there, but emotionally, they still aren't. And so when I went to church, it was just kind of another life. He lived it one way there, he lived it another way at home. And I don't have the massive scars of drugs and alcohol and all that. I never had a drop of any of it.
Amen.
But I still have the scars of so many other things. And for so many years, thought, like, well, I'm just not bad enough. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. And it's, to me, like, after everything we've been through in the last 5, 6 years, this last year specifically, still dealing with, I'm never good enough. Never good enough wife, never good enough mother, never good enough teacher. And those are the things I've gone through emotionally. To look back, that's been the basics of it from the get-go. I was never a good enough daughter, never a good enough Christian. And so I lived those two lives. I would be good enough to get by, but nobody knew how bad I really was on the inside until I started questioning things at the church. You know, I guess I'm a fighter. So I didn't question, and I didn't agree with different things, so I just left. And I found my own way to a Baptist church, and I didn't agree with a couple things going on there, and then I found my way over to Shingle House, and then I'd fight the conversations with this guy, and we would just have debates. And then I saw a family that didn't live two lives, four families that love their kids no matter what they've done. And when we started a church at Grace Bible with a leadership and a wife that lived a life that wasn't bipolar. I mean, like, there wasn't two lives.
Yeah.
They lived what they
preached.
And when I knew and accepted, you know, I made a confession when I was in seventh grade, but when I was in my 20s, when we first had our children, and knowing that that's the family dynamic that I want for our family, and got baptized then, and my family didn't show. It was never good enough. And I know that I don't have to be good enough for anybody else but the Lord.
Yeah. So, amen. Amen. And Ashley, that sort of thing hurts. And it's never going to go away. Because it's the past, it's there. Pat lives with some things, good family. Just as people would look at yours and say, a good family. And hers was a born-again Christian family. But there's things that she didn't get. She still, at 79 years of age, suffers with them and cries about them. So you just have to, each time, rely on the Lord, depend on Him, get a fresh dose of grace, and keep going. Yes, Pat.
Reminds me of what our grandson Jonathan said. He lived wild for a good number of years, came back to the Lord, now loves the Lord and witnesses. And I said, John, when you weren't living for the Lord, did you ever think about Him? He said, oh, Graham, when I get home and go to bed, lights were off, it was quiet. The Lord came to me, the Holy Spirit, and He kept after me. That gives me hope for my other grandchildren.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Now, to the young people, you listen to me. Where are you going?
Never mind.
Yeah, sit down. Listen to me. You can go when you're done, okay? Go into the missus. To all of you young people, as young as Taryn and Katie and Kay, the younger, the teens, okay, like Grace and Lily there, and then the young adults like Randy and Audie, and I know there's others of you in between. I'm just trying to pick out the different age groups. You're hearing this. You may be thinking to yourself, well, look at all of these people that came back. Look at all of these people that came out of it. The reason there's such a high percentage, it's because you're hearing it in church where they came back to. For every one of them, and I don't think I'm stretching this, but for every one of them, there are likely 10 young people that through the years sat in these pews and came to the point where they could make their own decision, and they made it. And they're not here tonight to tell you about it. Some of them are probably dead. Because of the ruination of their life. Others of them, they have that unhappiness. They have that hurt. They have that agony and all of what you've heard described. Only they have no relief from it. You cannot, do not think to yourself, well, all of these came back, I'll be one of them and I'll come back later. There's a proverb that's used about that. It's about sowing your wild oats. You just sow your... Now, if you have a grain field, you have real oats, and then you have, the Bible calls them tares, T-A-R-E-S, wild oats. And when you sow each one in a field, the Bible says, Jesus said, they come up and they look the same. Just like you all sitting around here, you look the same. But some of you aren't real. You're a wild oat. And what's going to happen is... When it comes to the full head, you can see the difference. And so now you can't see the difference because you're sitting here looking like the real Christians. You're sitting here looking like the real thing. But if you take your own way, and you heard Stephen there in college, he experienced it. And then he went to the military, and there it's in full bloom. Okay? And so there'll come a time when you'll see the full bloom of it. If God is merciful to you, he'll remind you of these times. Okay? And if he's merciful to you and you pay attention to him, I'd like to tell you that everyone who's grown up hearing and they get the opportunity to come back, they come back. But you know the same as I do that not all of them do. Some end up dying, going to their grave and hell beyond, who once heard. Once heard. I heard it put one time by an evangelist, and that is the saddest thing is for a person to go to hell through a church pew.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. They heard, but they don't turn. That's why we cannot stop praying, and not just polite prayers, but pleading the fervent, what's that verse?
The effectual fervent prayer.
The effectual prayer. that verse. Okay. That's the kind of praying we need to do. Okay? And I understand that's done at home in what the Bible calls your prayer closet. Okay? That's not the sort of praying that you do here when we say, Brother John, would you lead us in prayer? That isn't the time that you enter into that kind of intercession. We know that. But this is so important, young people. Okay, Trevor, whatever you had to do, I'll let you go do it now. And it's not wet where he was sitting, so. This is so important that you realize this, young people, that what you've heard tonight are the exceptions. Yes. And we're thankful for the exceptions. But what you've heard tonight is not usually what happens. So don't think, and Chelsea said it, don't think that you're going to be able to beat the game. You're not going to, you know, you won't fall prey to it the same as everybody else. Short, Nick, short.
I'm going to say, here's a song later, so you go up and pick a song that would go with the sermon. I think a good one would be that sin always takes you farther. Sin will take you farther than you want to go.
It sure does. It sure does. You know, remember that one, Mama? The song, sin will take you further than you want to go. Okay, if you remember the tune, Ashley's finding it on her phone. Yeah, I'll lead. There's enough folks here that may know that. Good suggestion, Nick. Okay, she's going to sit at the piano and play it. So a lot of you are going to remember it. And when we get started, you'll and where you don't know the words, just hum. Okay? You don't have it yet, actually. Anybody else looking for it? First verse, as a child, I foolishly turned God away. As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God in goodness has let me return. With his children, this lesson I've learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than wanna pay.
Amen. Thank you much, Ashley. Appreciate it. How did I know you were going to be looking for that?
All right, that's good. Thank you, Pat. Very good. Very good way to cap this off. And this definitely is not going the way I figured it was going to go. We're going to end up doing the mission thing next week, okay? Speaking of mission thing, you see the banks here? Teachers, there's your empty banks. We'll give you the amount of the love offering through Sunday School Globe Bank Mission Offerings on Sunday. And Carla, would you take that back from Ms. Sharon, please? Thank you. The new quarter that starts on Sunday is going to be a new missionary, Kenneth Cermak and family. Went to Papua New Guinea, and they just left. Remember, we gave you, there's letters over there from them, and this letter I gave to the teachers, so they have the most recent information, tells how they left, and they said their next prayer letter should be from Papua New Guinea. Wow. And so we'll take them on as the missionary for this quarter of April, May, and June. And so Sunday you can get to your bank and take it to your classroom. Now, regarding announcements, Youth Week offering. We'll be taking one up on Sunday, okay? Remember, the first Sunday in April, which is this coming Sunday, and that's Lord's Supper as well. And so if you remember that. And then on May 2nd, we'll take up another one, and I'll remind you of it. And then during June, every Sunday, we'll take up an offering for Youth Week. And Youth Week is June 27th to July 2nd. Do I have the right dates?
Yes, you do.
Okay, very good. So, okay. And teens clean the church on Saturday. What time? 10 a.m. All right. Well, I guess I don't need to write that down again. I won't need that for Sunday. Okay. So that's good. Teens, remember that. Please also remember that the new calendar for the month of April is over on the table. And it not only shows that there's a finance meeting, and not only shows Lord's Supper, but there's a finance meeting after the 1 o'clock service and the quarterly business meeting on Tuesday the 6th. Yes, Pat?
You wanted another table?
Yes. 159. Okay, now you'll hear that again on Sunday because there's folks that aren't here now. And so I'll share that again. I'm not just trying to... be repetitive or whatever. There's a duplicate it or something, okay? So, but 159, that was a good love offering. And that was all love offering. There's times where we have a private donation that somebody makes that, you know, gets included in the amount sent to them, but that was completely the love offering, and that was, of course, to Servant's Heart Camp. You know, every Sunday, I stand up here and I say, now don't forget the Globe Bank Mission Offering. It's going to Servant's Heart Camp. It's going to Servant's Heart Camp. I made my check out on Sunday for it and made it out to Matt Ministries. I gave it to Pat and she said, isn't it Servant's Heart Camp? I said, sure it is. So I voided that one and made another one out. So, it just does. No sense. All right, then also the men's fellowship that we're going to have on Friday night, April 16th. If you haven't signed up to come, be sure to do so. And that starts with teenagers 13 and up. Young men 13 and up can come to that. And ladies, if you're willing to provide some food, there's a sign up over there, the Italian theme, correct? And so we're going to have a good time. And the speaker is Pastor Hector Sotomayor from Rochester, from Calvary Bible Baptist Church. All right, now that's all, like I say, we'll do the mission thing next week, and
be a great recording, isn't it?
Pardon?
Be a great recording here.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, that's right. We say goodbye to you.